even a term that is given to some whom the pendulum swings too much. It is called cage stage. And you say, what does that mean? We'll discuss that as we continue on, maybe today, definitely through. But kind of just keep that in the back of your head. When we dwell on truths such as God's sovereignty, especially God's sovereignty within salvation, we will lose perspective on man's responsibility. Well, if God is going to save who God is going to save, then I'm just going to lay my hands back and do nothing, because God will handle it. Worse yet are those people who maybe, I've seen it a lot of people who are in the church, also for those who are being introduced to the truths of the church, who will say, well, God has not called me, so He must not love me, so why try? Two individuals that I knew from my prior church. Workers in the church. One even in leadership within the church, who left and said, the reason I'm leaving is because I am not called. So at that point, the responsibility is off of them and on God. Which is confusing as we will talk today. I understand that. As Paul will tell us, and use an Old Testament example where God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. As we looked last week at Jacob have I loved, Esau I have hated. The theme as we go through Romans is to remember that God is greater than we are. That His thoughts are larger than our thoughts. And there will be a day when we have ultimate knowledge and understanding of what we'll be talking about today. Let's look this morning. We're only going to cover verses 14 through 18. But let's read through verse 24. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. Now picking up, as Paul last week, as we discussed, he was trying to explain God's sovereign choice of Israel and how not all of Israel is Israel. So the natural question that comes out of that, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says of Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will say to the molder, will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honor and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Even us, whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. Let's pray. Father, such a difficult passage this morning for selfish man, for man who sits on the throne of his own heart, for men who don't understand. Father, give me love this morning as we look into this. Father, give us understanding as much as your Spirit is able, so we might see how glorious you are. We commit this time to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? The question that arises, the question that Paul is trying to answer, is one that's asked almost constantly today. Well, God's not fair, then, is he? If God loved Jacob and hated Esau, if God chose Isaac over Ishmael, if God chose Abraham over every other person in the world at that time, what about the rest of the world? What about them? Is God fair? And the premise I'd like to start out with this morning is no. God absolutely is not fair. For if God were to be totally and utterly fair, then every single person born from Adam on would have their eternity in hell. That is fairness, because that is what we deserve. Ryan, during Sunday school today, he was trying to make the point. He brought up David. Perfect David. Lived a life of no sin, correct? He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a thief. Yet he was also a man after God's own heart. How is that? Now, one of the best ways that we can answer biblical questions is by going to the Bible itself. And that is exactly what Paul's going to do today. As he's trying to answer this question, is God fair? Can this position that God has be righteous? He's going to use two examples. The example of Moses and the example of Pharaoh. Verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. This takes us back to the book of Exodus. Beginning in chapter 32, where Moses comes down from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments. Moses being probably all excited. I mean, here's this old guy carrying these two large stone tablets by himself down the mountainside. These tablets written by God, the hand of God writing them out. And he wants to share them with God's people. And he comes down off the mountain, and there's God's people in the midst of a drunken orgy, surrounding a golden calf, an idol, where the people, by their actions, have said, God has forgotten about us, we'll make a new one. And the Bible tells us that Moses is upset. But more than that, the Bible tells us that God is upset. And that day, if you read through chapter 32, over 3,000 men, women, and children were slain by the Levites. Is that fair? Absolutely. Those people deserve to die. What is not fair are the multitudes that were allowed to live that day by God's mercy and by His grace. And Moses You kind of sense his perplexity. You kind of sense his lack of understanding with God. And Moses begs for mercy for the rest of his people. And in verse 17 of Exodus chapter 33, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight and have known you by my name. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. He said, I myself will make you my God, make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." Again, fairness. We don't want fairness from God. If God were fair, we would all live eternity in hell. Well, let's look at the other side. Verse 16. Well, he continues in verse 16. "So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy." What is that? We talked about it last week. We talked about it today in Sunday school. It's not our actions. God did not look down through the annals of history and see Dan Branch and say, "Huh, he's a pretty awesome dude. Yeah, he's got a little, things could be worked on here, things could be worked on there, but overall, you know, when I throw him on the scales of justice, his good outweighs his bad." No. It does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. Why did God choose to save someone such as me? I wish I knew. I really do. I mean, we kind of get an understanding of Paul a little bit more. We're at the beginning of chapter 9. He says, "For I wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Paul himself had no understanding why God would choose him. I mean, we place Paul on this big, gigantic pedestal. I mean, in our minds, here's Jesus. Here's Paul. I'll never be like Jesus, but maybe I can be like Paul. And Paul, just like us, shakes his head and says, "I have no understanding why God would save a wretch like me." I mean, do you understand that out of Paul's life and the way that he lived it and how great we place him on this pedestal, that without Christ, he still deserves hell. The only thing that sets him apart, his life apart, all the great things he did, 4 missionary journeys, healings, an audience with Jesus while he was in jail. All of that, he still deserves hell. But God. So often our life is centered around us. Growing up, my life was centered around me. Today, I fight and I struggle to keep my life from being centered around me. But God does not depend on the man. Doesn't depend on what he wills or how he runs, how his life is lived. But on God who has mercy. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." Here Paul takes us back to Exodus chapter 9, where Moses is commanded by God to go before Pharaoh and demand he allow his people to go free. Ten times Moses goes to Pharaoh. 9 of those 10 times, Pharaoh says no. And a horrific plague is thrown upon the people of Egypt. How could Pharaoh be so stubborn? I mean, my goodness. At least after the Nile River was turned to blood, surely Pharaoh would come around. Or how about after the locusts come and eat all the vegetation in the land? Surely Pharaoh would come around. But God said to Moses, "For this very purpose," and he says to Pharaoh, "I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." For Pharaoh's disobedience, for Pharaoh's rejection of the true and living God, God hardened his heart. I don't understand that. I mean, if I were God, instead of hardening Pharaoh's heart, I would have made him favorable towards the children of Israel. I would have had Pharaoh bow down and worship the God of Israel. But I will have mercy on whom I have mercy and compassion on whom I have compassion. God used Pharaoh unto the end that God wanted. Paul says to the Christians at Rome, "So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires." But that's not fair. Thank God he isn't fair. And Paul's going to continue this treatise next week, where, as we've already read, it says, "Who are you, O man, who answers back to God?" Again, I'm trying not to bring in baggage that I've learned. I'm trying to keep towards Scripture that's here. I don't think I'm manipulating anything. I don't think I'm making this say things that I want it to say, but rather what it says. And either everything within these pages is the perfect Word of God, or none of it is. We can't pick and choose. Pastor Dan, I still don't understand. Well, you're right where I'm at most of the time. Where truly do you want your salvation to originate? Do you want it to originate with yourself? Do you really? I've made bad decisions in my life. Some of you have made bad decisions in your life. We've made decisions that we're living the consequences with still today. I don't want salvation to be of me. I would rather it be from a perfect, holy, omnipotent, omniscient, faithful, trustworthy God, who is perfect, sinless, and holy. Ultimately, we don't need to have complete understanding. God will grant us understanding the more we trust Him, the more we learn about Him. I mean, after 37 years, I'm still learning things about my wife. And after some 40 years of walking with God, I'm still learning things about Him. The question I asked this morning is, do you trust God? Moses did. David did. Paul did. I do. God cannot do anything wrong. And just so we don't get into the, well, if it's up to God, then I'm taken out of the equation. The Bible also tells us, call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. How do those go hand in hand? I don't know. I dare say if you find somebody who tells you they know, turn around and run the other way, please. Because there is so much bad theology in good theology. Pray that the Lord shows you through this, not through your experiences, not through your relationships, but through this. This is the only thing that's perfect that we have access to. Father, Lord, I pray I handled this the way you would have to this morning. Father, I know the truths that we talked about today in some circles are called heresy. Lord, I tried to preach your word the way your word was written. Father, help us to understand, as Paul's trying to get the people of Rome to understand, that salvation is of God. I thank you, Lord, that you had mercy on me. And Father, I can continue to pray that you will have mercy on those that I pray about and pray for. Lord, that your Holy Spirit might grant them repentance to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, you must increase. I must decrease. For it's in your name we ask. Amen.